Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Yep.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello.
What?
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
You got it twice now. Hello, welcome to Abracadabra. What is happening? This is what happening. This is what happened when you try to juggle 20 things at the same time.
This is great. This we're trying to share it and.
Welcome to Abracadabra. Create what you speak. I'm Ilan Azulay, spiritual mentor and a sound therapist for you who are ready to reclaim your power, to remember your gifts, and bring them out to the world, shine them to the world. And this is an empowerment program, and we are here with my lovely co-host, Gina Ann. Hello, Gina.
Hi, good morning. Good morning.
Good noon.
Good noon. Good noon. Well, good afternoon, good noon, and good evening, wherever you are. So I'm so glad that y'all can join us today on this beautiful Sunday, feeling the kind of change of weather, which is really interesting and always lovely.
Totally. So now we're also going on IG on IGTV Live, right?
Yeah. Yes, we're on IGTV Live.
IGTV Live.
Jojo by Gigi and Body Soul Sound.
Yes, exactly.
So, again, welcome whoever's coming on.
Interesting. Always lovely.
Again?
Totally.
I love this. See, this is what I love about live TV. This is the bloopers.
It's the bloopers.
Bloopers are the best. Who doesn't like bloopers?
Yeah, bloopers are, you know, the funny things happen in bloopers.
Because I love bloopers.
Right? Because when you remember the days of the DVD?
Of course.
When they had the DVDs, and then at the end, there were the bloopers where you would just go and I would go directly there.
Me too.
I would go directly to the... To that bloopers thing.
So that's what I love. This is what I love is about going live again. I'm just going to repeat it. When there's bloopers happen, you know, people frantic, but it's funny. Why not? This is life, right? Bloopers in life.
Bloopers in life.
What are some bloopers that happen in life?
Oh, that's interesting.
I would love to know y'all's story.
So,
hello, everybody. And Jojo by Gigi.
Hello, hello. So the number here to call is 32. Mm-hmm. It's also on the screen. It's 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. And if you have any comments, you can write them or you can call us, and we are here to have fun.
And love that. That's what this show is about, having fun, but having fun with a purpose.
Well, fun is a purpose too, no?
True, but fun is...
For sure.
Fun is a lot of stuff.
So, don't get me in trouble. So, you know, this week we have many things happening this week. You know, there's a lot of stuff that is happening this week. This week is the holiday of Sukkot. You know, the Jewish holiday of Sukkot. You know, Jewish holidays.
I do. I love all the holidays.
Yeah. And so the theme, well, there are a couple of themes. There are a few themes, but a couple of themes that really got me, and I talked about it in my Friday video, is a theme of happiness, joy, and unity. Mm-hmm. Joy and unity, isn't that is, you know, and so. In Hebrew, it's a little different because in Hebrew, there are 10 synonyms for the word joy. Like there are 10 different levels. Mm-hmm. Almost 10 different levels for the word joy, how to describe the word joy and what. And one of them is chedva. Chedva comes from the word sharp, being sharp, meaning the first instance where you are meeting a certain experience. It's the first connection, like something that you see, something that is... when you hear a noise, right? And you go, right?
Yeah, shock.
Right. Or shock, or
excitement.
Or excitement, or... Right, but that's the first, encounter with that experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first encounter. Think about like when you're going on a roller coaster, right? Just before the first incline when you go up. Right?
First, before getting on, right?
Well, before getting on. But now you're going on, right? You're going on. Just before you go down, your ass leaves the chair for a split of a second, right?
Yeah, so does your heart.
Yeah, so that is chedva. That is one of the synonyms of the word joy. It's just when you enter that experience before, right? Before liftoff.
Yeah. Love roller coasters. Very, very interesting about roller coasters. I think they're very paradoxical.
How so? Well, why?
Well, because it's in life.
Yeah.
Anxiety and excitement does the same thing to your body, right?
Anxiety and excitement does the same thing to your body, but your relationship to that excitement or anxiety is different.
But it's still the same feelings. That's what physiologically, the heart starts pounding. Like, so before you go on a roller coaster, you know, either you have a fear of it. You're like, oh, what's going to happen? Hello, everybody. See, they're all watching.
They're all watching.
And then when you go on, and then afterwards, right? When you realize everything's okay. You made it through.
Yeah.
So kind of paradoxical so life, right?
It's interesting. Yeah, no. It's interesting. It's like, you know, when you're in a group of people, not insulting somebody. Because when somebody is being insulted in a group of people, what is happening is the blood in Kabbalah and in Judaism talks about it's the same thing like a murder. Mm. The physiological body movement, right? Because the blood rushes in an unconventional way, an unnatural way to the body.
So yeah.
So the blood rushes to the head and then drops down, right. And then you see a person is pale, right?
And being insulted is you're taking it personally, right? We've all felt insulted.
Well, you know, but there are also look. If you're sitting in a room full of people, right, and somebody is telling you something that whether it's true or not, but somebody is a bully and puts you down and say, oh, you're dumb, you don't know, just be quiet, just don't know, you know, that's how can you not? I mean, you can ignore that person, and then on the other hand, you are sitting in a group of people, right? Or you can confront it, right?
And confrontation is not always a negative, right?
No, but I wasn't talking about, we weren't talking, well, we're moving on.
it's all synonymous though, right? Like everything that's happening in this life, in this world. And,
it is.
And again, it's what's happening to each of us. How I would react would be different how he reacts or she reacts.
So there are, that's right. So, well, if we're in a group of people and somebody says something like this or says something that is insulting or really do you want a phone?
No.
Oh, okay.
They're commenting, that's why. I'm looking at everything if you guys have a comment. Yeah, so I want to just make sure that I'm conscientious of if you're right. Wanting to call in or comment.
She's the conscientious watcher.
Yeah.
You know, but there is a way that is being that I talk about also in the Friday video. I talk about that and I will share about the some of the rituals that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But there is an understanding that if we understand that everything in this world is temporary, if we come from the understanding, now I'm jumping ahead, but if we come from the understanding that everything in this world is temporary and we are here really as we are in a corridor, we're in a corridor to move forward, to pass beyond what is only material and to pass beyond this world, and where we are ascending, our spiritual existence is developing and our soul is ascending. And so if we know that everything is temporary, then this helps on A, reducing expectations, because expectations many times you expect to get disappointed,
mm-hmm.
and not taking everything personally. There is a great book by Don Miguel Ruiz.
The
Four Agreements. And one of them, one of the agreements that we come with our body and everything, and our existence is not to take things personally. Right, and that happens. You know, you've told me several yeah. things that happen.
And that's human to take it personally. You need to have this reaction. And so when you're working with clients,
yeah,
what you're saying, I feel. But when we're in the midst of an emotional or mental or physical crisis, how do you work with someone? Because you can tell that to them.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah, we can tell it. But so then when it happens.
When we work with clients, you know, and they're in this mental, they come to us when they're in distress or they're going through some crises.
Yes.
How do we move them through this process of not convincing them or advising them, but having them really feel and that this is temporary? Because when you're in it, it doesn't feel temporary. It feels like a full explosion.
It does. It does, actually.
So what's some of your modalities and tools that you do use?
Well, I have a spatula. No, that's exactly. <Yeah. laughs> No, but so first of all, it's important to talk about it before this happens, because you're starting to integrate it into your thinking pattern, and you think about this, right? But when we are in that mode, in that stage, we have to break a cycle. Mm-hmm. We have to break a pattern. Like you said, it's like it feels like it's a full blown like the world is collapsing,
crisis,
right?
Yeah.
It's a crisis. So the first thing is to do is a physical stop, not a mental stop. Because when you're in a mental stop, and think about it, if and when you go into anxiety, right? And somebody says to you, "Wait, it's okay. It doesn't work, right?" What needs to
the logic system shuts down.
Because you're operating from
emotion, limbic system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a physical intervention is really many times, if not all the time, many times is that which can stop you on your track, so to speak. So we can go from there. But stops you on the track, doing something different, taking fresh air, drinking water. And when you're anxious or when you're thirsty, for example, you want to drink the water right away just so you don't. So what I do is sometimes I would put straws in the water. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, so you have to
think about it, yeah.
No, so you have to push the water and to drink so you don't, you don't choke and you think about what you have to do and you actually are doing something physical to remove you from that spiritual, mm-hmm. from that spiritual lockdown, right?
Right.
And
well, you made a good point in the sense when someone's in this kind of crisis or panic or don't do that, calm down. All they hear is da 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 da. So it revs them up. So sometimes, you know, with children, you can do like a clap. It's like a distraction.
That's right.
Because sometimes I'll go.
That's right.
And it'll take them out of that mode. It'll pause them a moment or take a breath. Anything with a distraction. But once you said don't do this, then all they know is to do this.
It's like when somebody is.
Don't think of an elephant.
Exactly. A mouse.
Tweet, tweet. So just going out of and see how humor is the best way.
Humor is the best. If you don't have humor and if you don't have humor and you don't take things in a, so it's really not, mm-hmm. it's just going to be all serious. But here's the thing. Somebody who is humoristic.
Sure. I like that word.
Humoristic.
We can create our own dictionary and thesauruses.
Humoristicality.
Perfect. The study of humor.
The study of
why
humor.
Why not?
Humoristicality.
Exactly. Why not?
Do you want to hear the joke?
Yeah, I want to hear a joke.
Okay. So
you all want to hear a joke?
I don't know.
If you have any jokes.
Oh, boy. This is a Mati joke.
Okay. Okay.
So you know the Guitar Center here, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So this guy makes an appointment with the bird here at the Guitar Center at 8 o'clock in the morning. And he comes to the Guitar Center at 8 o'clock. The bird is not there. 8:15, 8:30. The bird comes at 8:45. The guy's upset already. He's like, "What happened to you? We made an appointment at 8 o'clock in the morning. Why didn't you have 8:45? She said, "It was a beautiful day. I decided to walk."
I like your other joke.
Which one?
About the waiter and the dentist.
Oh,
okay. This is a good one.
Well, you know, so you go to a humor. You go to a restaurant, right? And the connection between and you go to a dentist as well, you know, probably.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
But what is the connection? What is the similarity between a dentist and the waiter? They both ask you how you're doing when your mouth is full. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Good one.
I know. Yeah. You got to be there.
Yeah.
Maybe they're laughing. If you're laughing, do a ha ha ha.
Oh, geez.
So we know. Or a hoo hoo hoo.
Anyway.
Or hee hee hee.
No, so yeah, humor. No. Humor is a, and you know what I found myself doing also when I was a kid? When I remember when my parents would punish me, or like I would get like beatings from here till tomorrow, right? And I would go into the bathroom like to cry or something or whatever, and I would look at the mirror and I look at my face. And I don't believe I'm saying this,
okay.
But I look at my face and I would see my face all and water and cries. And then I was like, ha-ha. Like I would make faces in the mirror.
Try to distract you out of it.
To distract.
It's a great coping mechanism.
And then you know what happened then? Then I would go back, like I would stop. It wouldn't be the same.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like, okay.
Okay, it happened.
It was just, oh, fine. It wouldn't be the same intensity in crying like it was in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing all these kind of faces and stuff like that. And like, that's okay. You're not really taking it seriously. You're just acting like you're taking it seriously. It's painful. Okay. I remember thinking of this as a kid.
So you would go to the bathroom to decompress or...
I wouldn't have anything. You know?
Wouldn't have anywhere to go.
I wouldn't have anywhere to go. We were living in a two-bedroom apartment. My parents, my brothers, we all grew up five kids. Not at the same ages, but... I didn't have anything. You know, you do this, the apartment ends.
That's a very good point because I grew up in Texas.
Yeah.
Lived on 60 acres, you know, a lot of open space. Three brothers. We can go, you know, if we were bothered, we can go. Here, it's all concrete. Kids, this is what the thing is. When I work with children and teens, they have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
They have nowhere to express. I would go by the tank or lake and we'd had an alligator, Charlie.
Oh, Charlie.
And an alligator in the tank, Charlie. He's in one of my books. And, you know, I could go write or I could go talk, not thinking interesting, you know, that the alligator could come and take me down in the tank. But we didn't think of that. But I'd bring him bread. And that was my way of just kind of going into my own space. And I would take only the heel of the bread because I'd get in trouble if it was the other part.
Only what? Only the
heel of the bread, the crust.
Yeah.
Because no one liked the crust. And then I would go, Charlie. And then, boop, his little eyes would pop out and I would throw it. And but I had a place to go. I had a place to, you know, vent, to think, to, you know, I had to process my emotions, even though I didn't have a word for it. Here, I'm noticing kids, this is what I deal with, especially when we've been in this seclusion for a year and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Most of my clients have gone through this, what I call a lot of anxiety and depression. They are not depressed, but there is depression, which is a real condition. It is just a diagnosis, not who you are, who they are. So, and being reintegrated in the social apparatus now, there's a lot of anxiety attached even to that. But they had no place to go.
Mm.
And so we all need a place to not escape to, but to process the emotions and vent. And, you know, we had your son on, a couple weeks ago? His was through music.
Yeah.
Whatever your modality is. I would be very interested in y'all if y'all would share where was your escape place as a child.
Yeah, how did you, how
I said
did
escape place,
that?
But yeah, where did you go? Where did you grow up? How did you
How did you cope with that?
It, I would be very, very interested. And if you have any questions, you know, call in and we can process
Absolutely.
This right now. Very, you know, we can't spend an hour session, but we can process if you have a question that, you know,
so
is coming up forward for you.
You know why the alligator didn't bite you?
Because I fed him bread.
Exactly. If he would eat you, the bread won't come again.
Yeah.
So he would rather keep...
I would be breakfast, lunch,
like
and dinner.
That's like a rental.
Exactly. Charlie.
Did he respond when you called him?
He did respond. He would come up, his little eyes, and then I would throw the bread. And yeah, we had moccasins and we had all sorts of critters.
How did it start? How did it start that you suddenly became a friend with an alligator? Like,
well, even though I had brothers but, you know, I had...
Like you had him since he was a little...
Someone put him in the tank when he was just a little, little critter.
Alligator-y?
Yeah, a little baby.
Uh-huh.
And it grew over 6 feet. It was just my way of, I guess, figuring things out. Even though I had a house full of people, I still felt very alone sometimes. Very alone.
So that was your...
And growing up with boys, you know, I wasn't treated like a princess.
Dag nubbit.
I climbed trees, but I loved it. We had very grateful for the upbringing in Texas. And, you know, we all play. We played all day long. And then we came back. I didn't have water bottles. We would go take a hose.
That's right.
Neighbor.
Those times we would drink,
from the hose.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Now we have bottles.
We didn't have bottles. I didn't bring protein bars. We just, and then we had to be back and wash our hands and
sit
eat dinner.
Yeah.
And whatever was for dinner was for dinner.
You got to finish that.
Otherwise, not a menu.
There was no dinner.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right. So, and my kids, I tried to, they were born and raised in California, but tried to create the same kind of, where can you go? Because sometimes it's not me that they want to go to. They need another outlet,
Yeah. So wow.
So you used to go to the bathroom. I used to go to the bathroom too and lock the door so I'd have peace. I couldn't go outside.
It was the bathroom, the shower and everything was in one room. And there was these mirrors that have three doors. There are three doors,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, those kind of thing. So,
okay.
So,
feel something's brewing. I can feel something brewing coming up.
I would look at the mirror, right? I would look at the mirror and I would see myself. So here's the thing. It's like watching a movie and I know that I'm in a movie, right? So it would be painful, right? But I would open those two doors on each side just to see how I look like when I cry from each side.
But that's great,
right?
So
it was like for me it was like okay, now can I make this face? Yeah, it was like a 3D. Now I can make this face, and so slowly it would morph, and these were, and I'm not talking about just like, oh, you can't play there, go to your room. These were really traumatic events that and yet in the midst of it, I found that. Now in hindsight I'm looking, but I found that I had this capacity to just transcend from that place into somewhere else. But when I would go out from the bathroom, I would still be like, I still have the show on.
Right.
Or the,
did you follow that through life in coping with crisis that occurred in your life? Did you have the 3D mirror?
It wasn't in the same bathroom.
No, but other bathrooms or other mirrors?
I would... later on, I discovered also eye gazing.
Soul gazing.
So eye gazing is into the soul. Open the door into the soul, right? So, slowly, I would meditate looking into my eyes, right? And it's interesting because many things come through eye gazing, soul gazing.
Absolutely.
Right, and those are the moments where I discovered that now I have language to it. But at that time, I didn't have language to it. At that time, I was only aware of it. Right, but now I have language. I have consciousness. So
you have experience.
Well, yeah, but I give it a language. I'm describing it.
Mm-hmm.
To you, and I'm actually describing it to me. You know what? To be honest with you, this is the first time ever that I'm talking about this in this fashion, mm-hmm. and going through this process of how did I cope with certain things that happened in childhood, mm-hmm. that eventually shaped my operation or how I operate or how I look at things,
mm-hmm.
And I remember that those instances really helped in transforming my pain or sorrow to understand that,
right.
You got to deal with this it's not, I'm here. I'm nothing happened. Right.
Through your music as well. I was writing. I was a writer.
Yeah.
And
you still are a writer.
And still am. Yeah. that was my outlet, reading and writing.
Yeah.
And movies. I love movies.
Yeah, movies are great.
Because I can tap into it. That's why I love acting, because you can tap into it and tap into the emotions. And so for you, it was sound and music.
It was music. Yeah,
music.
Guitar. I would play guitar for hours. Just like...
Hours.
And
you had an idol that you...
Yeah, he's still there.
Tell him about what you're doing.
Well,
I mean, what project you're working on. I'd like to know what the projects, the viewers are doing.
I'm I'm also video editing. So I edited the last three videos of Matti Kaspi. So here's the thing. Matti Kaspi is like the Sting, Stevie Wonder of Israel. And he is the most prolific composer, and over 1,000 songs, countless productions, shows, some Tel Aviv show, like a Broadway show, but on Tel Aviv, right? many compositions for this kind of plays, shows. And so when the corona started, we really got connected.
Beautiful.
We got connected, and 40 years later, I'm working with Matti Kaspi, and it's quite a, you know, quite an exhilarating, quite an
exhilarating
experience.
Well, you made your
experience.
Dream come true.
It was a dream come true, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Lovely.
A dream come true. And next week is going to be the Hebrew marathon that I am putting for Matti next Friday. It's going to be in Hebrew, but I'm going to work on, but I'm working also on a translation, so probably sometime later we'll have the program also with
beautiful music. You don't even have to understand the words.
No need to understand.
You know, so that's the beauty of sound and music. I mean, for me, music as well was my escape. I didn't play it. I just listened to it. Remember you would take the radio and we'd record it on the tape recorder. And
And then I hated when the guy would come in and
yes!
describe it. It's like, why are you ruining my song, man?
And records, we're dating ourselves, but it's like so great. There was nothing like a vinyl record.
Oh,
right. My mom had 8 tracks.
Yeah, I remember those.
So kind of interesting. But music is very, now poetry. And, you know, we all come back to what I love. The world is like, for me, life is like a merry-go-round. People get on. And first you get on. You decide, do you want to go on the horse? Do you want to go on the chair? And then, you know, my life felt very, like, fast. Got to do, 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 do. And then when you start to, it goes slower. And then the people that come on, you either connect with them or they don't, right? It's a merry-go-round. Boom.
Yeah.
So... yeah, it's just interesting.
Julie says, bloopers make us see how human we all are.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Love bloopers. So you saw our blooper, little blooper, little bloops.
Boopa la boop.
And we're all, but it's fun. Like, for me, that's the fun part. That's because it makes it real.
Well, it is real because, you know, it's...
Well, that's why we're here. It's real. We're not boom, 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 boom.
Well, we are boom, boom, boom,
boom, but, you know...
Boom, 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 boom.
So, love that Julie's watching.
Yeah, so this is right. When you can make love, when you can make fun of yourself also...
Make love and make fun of...
Make love of yourself.
Freudian slip.
Make love of yourself. Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I start saying. But actually, when you make fun of yourself, in the sense that you laugh about how you talk, about what you say, or like how you coped with certain things, rather, then you know that you are also healed from that place.
Absolutely.
This is one thing. If you try that, talk about yourself or about certain situation that you think is embarrassing. And talk about that, and see how you talk about this. And if you talk about this without, you know, laughingly.
Or funningly, I don't know.
Or funning tone. Or if you're talking about it laughingly, so you're pretty much good with how you are with it. And when you say how you are with it, it's your relationship to that instance. It's never what happened. Because what happened is just happened. It's
how you react to the situation.
It's our relationship. Exactly. It's our relationship to what is happening that is changing the face of... best example. Somebody that... Maybe there is somebody that you like. Or let's say uncommon, that you don't like. Maybe there is somebody that you don't like. But then another person that you know... It's not about that.
Maybe I don't like what they do, but okay.
Yeah, whatever. You know, but you don't connect to... No, you don't connect. There are energies, like there are certain people and certain energies that we do not connect with.
Yeah, exactly.
And we do not connect with. And this also is an indication that they are not of our spiritual tribe. We don't connect. If you're not connecting with somebody, and the same token, if you're connecting very well with somebody, then they are in your spiritual tribe. If you're not connected with them, then you're not in your spiritual tribe. And there is actually a kind of, not a resentment, but you know, like the two plus signs of a battery or of a magnet, when you put them together, they push one another.
Right.
It can be that. And I've experienced that several times in my life where there was no meshing. Right. Now, why am I saying this?
Well, like on the merry-go-round, some do come in our life. Maybe at that moment we're supposed to meet them, but then the journey could be just very brief, or the journey could carry us longer.
That's right. Yeah,
right?
But I wanted to say an example I forgot about. So I was like, I get too much in the story, in the leaf, in the branch.
So I'm not sure if anybody's commenting, but I do see some comments on IGTV.
No, they're waving.
Oh, great. Okay.
They're waving.
So thank you.
Waving.
I just want to acknowledge them as well. So we're balancing both cameras. Yeah. So love that you all are here. Love your input. I love, thank you, Julie,
this is
for,
great.
I love interaction. This is like
yeah, this
why
is
we
great.
Do this.
This
because
is great.
It's connecting with people. And your opinions and your thoughts and your feelings matter. And we're all learning from one another. And every stage of life or every stage our world becomes, it is unity, as you started
it
out
is,
the conversation.
Yeah.
Unity. And I love the holidays or holy days that we all
celebrate.
We celebrate and we...
Anyway, maybe I'll get to this point, but you're right
ahead.
About the unity and the holidays. Because it's a symbolic... It's a symbolic to how we can be, and there is also a deeper understanding of what can help us and how it can help us in navigating.
Yeah, in relationships, it's all about communication and healthy communication, conscious communication. Again, conscious communication is, I own a motorcycle, I don't know how to ride it, but I'm willing to learn.
Yes, yes.
And that's, for me, that's what I had to develop in my listening, rather than sometimes it's better for me to just listen. I tend to... Yeah. But speaking of holidays, I guess today is National Daughter's Day.
Oh, really?
Which I love that.
There
I think for me, every day is Daughter's Day and Son's Day. Every day is Mother's Day to me, but just acknowledging you know, all the daughters and all the mothers and all the fathers. And
oh,
all
okay.
The, so to so my little baby, Megan.
So it's a Daughter's Day, Megan.
It's Daughter's Megan. Day, but I'm also a daughter, so I'm acknowledging, like, today, for me, every day is Mother's Day.
All right. So Ariana, if you're not watching, it will come to you in a mail with a pigeon. You know, she'll carry the note in her beak. So, but I remember what I want to say with the relationships.
Good.
Before
See?
I go to the end.
Go ahead.
Anyway. So let's say you don't like, there is somebody you don't like, right? But I like that person.
Mm-hmm.
And we know one another. You and I know one another. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the third person that, let's say, you don't like and I like, right? So the person is the person, right?
Correct.
So it's the relationship that is dictating how we act. It's never the person is the person. Now I'm not talking about if somebody did something maliciously,
to you, yeah.
Right? But you just don't connect with that person. You don't vibe. You don't gel, right? But I do. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean that the person is something is off with them. It is our relationship to
That's
them.
Right.
It's our energy. The same thing could be with something, with an issue, with a job, or with any kind of
right.
issue.
Well, isn't this our world? This is the diversity of our world.
Yeah, so
in
that's
politics, education,
yeah.
everything. Religion.
Yeah, so it is all relationship. It is all, and this time, this last, I know you told me something too, but I'll let you say that.
What? Go ahead.
No, I'm talking about many dogmas or patterns, you know, that I've realized in the last month that are starting to, that where I come from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where I come from has to do with religion, has to do with how to look at things. Has, you know, but it's mostly coming from where I come from. That's interesting. And I remember that you were saying something, how you were going through certain things, but this is the beauty of things, that we meet people,
mm-hmm.
right? We meet people and the people that we meet are instigating certain things,
are stimulating
certain things that are helping us in our evolution.
So it's our choice to either evolve from it, dissolve the
evolve
issue.
Evolve with it, no? Or evolve from the
from
old,
it,
from the
with
old
it,
one.
Around
yeah, yeah, yeah,
it. You know, it's like there's a lot of doors that go in front of us. And, doors, see?
Doors.
The cards.
Oh, yeah.
We played with tarot cards, me and my friends last night. My triplets. We call us the triplets.
The triplets.
And I had a vision of the door, and she picked the door cards, and I was like, yeah, we open up many doors. Sometimes we'll leave the door open too long. You know, sometimes we walk in and we leave the door open too long, and sometimes we close it. But it's our choices of all the doors, because doors are always opening us. Do we choose to see them? Yes or no? So I don't know why the cards flashed and she chose it. And I was like, yeah, I just
felt
right.
I'm walking through the doors.
Yeah.
Well, we have to walk through. We
don't have to walk through the doors.
We have to walk through the doors if we want to,
if
we want to change.
You know, like I said, sometimes we leave the door open too long or we leave it closed too long. And, you know, this is, why are we here? Why are we here?
Oh, well,
why are we here?
Why are you here? Well,
you know, what is our purpose? Do you know innately, or are you still searching for it? And I feel it evolves.
So here, you're right. But here's the thing. If you think about that simple question that is so charged, what's the meaning of life?
Yeah, why are we here?
Right. And what are we doing all the time? We are making meaning of everything. We're making meaning of everything. We're making meaning that is meaningful to us. We're making connections, things that are, we are bonded. And anything meaningful is something that we are bonded to and bonded with. So when we're bonded with somebody or with a certain issue, then it's meaningful to us. So in essence, what's the meaning of life is to make meaning. Don't you think so?
Absolutely. Yeah, I know.
It's
just
like
our own personal, and this is what we guide people in life coaching, whatever you want to call it. You're a life coach. I'm a life coach. We have many life coaches.
And there are ways to you brought up an interesting point in the beginning. If somebody is in a loop of, I call it craze, whatever that is.
Craze.
Right? You are in that loop. How do we get out of it? Where is this craze coming from? It comes from our head.
Right.
So a physical jolt is going to break that pattern out. Physical jolt, so walking, breathing, stopping, drinking water.
Well, sometimes we need an outside source too. Therapists, counselors.
No, but I'm talking in the moment where we are in the moment, like we are talking.
Right.
And let's say,
you don't have that outlet?
Yeah, let's say we're in a room, right? And something happens.
Oh, like an earthquake. Let's say an earthquake.
Well, we're talking internally.
But that trauma, an earthquake can trigger like a trauma response, right?
Yeah.
So it's a jolt, right? So what do we do in that? Like we just had an earthquake in...
2 days, 3 days ago?
Yeah, and then last week, I live in the South Bay, and boom, the whole place was shaking. I went into like, you know, mother mode. Oh my God, my children, how are they? Right? It's a trigger. It's like a response. So it doesn't even have to come from a person.
No, it doesn't. But it's just a describing situation because we're talking here.
Lovely.
Just like,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
bloop, bloop, bloopy. See, here we go off.
I don't know.
No, I was feeling you and listening to you as, you know, but the earthquake just came to my mind because you said a jolt, and it was.
Yes,
but you're talking about a jolt that triggers, right?
A jolt that triggers. And the trigger that puts us in a place that is kind of almost out of body. It says in Kabbalah is that somebody who is angry is out of this world. When we get angry, we are out of this world. So think about it. When we get angry, it's like a whole different person. Can be a whole different person. And out of this world, each person is, we are like a world, right? We are the entire world. So it's like out of ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's like something that is, so to bring back to some kind of a neutrality, whether it is waiting, letting decompress, go through the process of feeling it, but whatever that is, we need to have this.
We have a comment. Yes,
Julie's asking. I want to know who coaches the life coaches.
Another life coach. That's what we do. Exactly. Great. Exactly. Because sometimes, you know, yes, we have all the tools and we can guide with the tools. Sometimes we don't follow our own tools. So it takes another person, a friend, another life coach, a mentor to bring us back to that ground. And it's like, yes.
To help us remember.
Yeah. Because I feel people who are in service to others need other people who are in service to others. Right?
For sure.
It's like I work with children, teens, and adults, mostly children. I love the inner child. But sometimes my children don't listen to me. But if someone else says something to them, and they could be saying the same thing I did. It's like, wow.
Well, I think that is more of a family thing. You know, also with my kids. And, you know, My son, my daughter. If I say something, but somebody else will say something.
And it's the same thing.
I think it's it's a thing.
But the same thing with myself. Sometimes I can't pull myself out of the emotional state. And then when someone comes in, a friend, a loved one says, even you can come here, like in the earthquake, you can come here. Wow. Like that compassion and that guide of like, I have another safe place. I'm not alone. And that's really what it comes from. We don't want to feel alone.
Yeah, we don't want to feel alone.
We want to feel connected, valued,
connected together. That is our basic need mm-hmm. is to be connected. Is to come together. Is to belong. Mm-hmm. To belong. To be needed. You know that is a basic thing. And if you look what's going on around in the world now with all the kakamaiste of this. Corona thing, you know,
but it has brought unity too.
Brought unity
because people have had compassion and looked out from themselves and said, "I want to help the other person." Therefore, I'm going to sacrifice some of my belief systems, or things that I don't like to do, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Like we do as parents, as friends, as lovers.
I get you. But let's look at. And there is that, there is the unity, but there is also a lot of separation. And this is what this has created. It's created a lot. I'm not talking about who is right, who is wrong. Stand on it. I think it's a whole propaganda right. to control everybody. Not that it's not true. It is real, and there are things that is happening, and there is a viral infection going around, and it's happening.
Well,
I think this is to control everybody. It's another way, another step in the new world order.
Well, sure. I agree to some aspect of it. I do. I feel like whatever you believe is true is true. But it may not be true to that person over there. And I do feel like we're always evolving and things happen in the world.
But this,
I mean, yeah. it's like that book. Why do bad things happen to good people? I was fascinated by that book because I was always like, why would God make a child or my someone sick or this? Like, it was a really, really profound book. And yeah. I would carry all that energy. It's like, why is this happening to the world? Why does this happen to my family? Why? And it's like that panic. I'm like, no, no, no.
Yeah, this is, yeah.
This is where, you know, and that's being empathic. We're all empathic to a certain extent.
Well, but this is also an understanding that you cannot control cannot control.
But there's also free will. So if there is this propaganda and this controlling, we don't have to fall into it, right?
We don't have to fall into it if we choose to critically think about it. For example, I'm having this book. I don't know if I'll have enough time, but this book is... Hello. this is by Vandana Shiva. She is an activist. She is working specifically with how to live sustainably, and she's let me read this here. She is an activist where is that? She works with people all around the world. She's from India. She works for people all around the world with food, with how to live sustainably, and how to take care of our world, how to take care of this planet that we are so manipulating and killing it, really. So she wrote a book called Oneness, and she was at our house, and she gave a talk. Her name is Vandana Shiva. She wrote a book called Oneness versus the 1%. Now, what I'm reading from here is actually, this is in an epilogue, okay? This is in an epilogue, but it's actually a public information, okay? This is public information, not because of the book, but just because this is what I'm going to read. I'm warning you about the patent, okay? On March 26, 2020, at the peak of the coronavirus pandemic and in the midst of the lockdown, Microsoft was granted a patent by the World Intellectual Property Organization, patent number W0060606, right?
Mm-hmm.
Declares that human body activity associated with a task provided to a user may be used in a mining process of a cryptocurrency system. So basically and it goes on and talks about this, and you can look about it. Look at that patent. Basically, if I'm omitting sweat, if I'm omitting muscle movement, we are omitting radiation. So Microsoft and as such that are associated have the patent on the process of us creating these movements. And they are mining. They're colonialism.
Yeah. Right? Colonists, yeah.
Right? What they do? They mine the lands. Just like they mine the lands here, they're mining our body. Now, to get a...
I'm not understanding what you're saying. So you're saying they can control our body?
Well, they have the patent to control all our body activities. Do you understand that?
So if they say lift my hand, they can make me lift my hand?
Well, so how can they get there? If you think about that, how can you get there? The body activity that Microsoft wants to mine includes radiation emitted from the human body, brain activities, body fluid flow, blood flow, organ activity, body movement such as eye movement, facial movement, and muscle movement, as well as any other activities that can be sensed and represented by images, waves, signals, numbers, or any other information or data, meaning that anything that we do, they have the right to mine it. Mine it meaning to control it, to study it, to get to it. How can they get to it? Eventually to stick stuff into our bodies. And we look at the 5G, how everything can be...
Well, good. Will it make me lose 10 pounds?
Yeah, it could.
Good.
Actually, I think you lost already just by listening
there,
to it.
Like a shoom. Good.
Yeah, that's good. So, a new weight loss program is called Ruined by the...
Microsoft, thank
ruined
you.
Ruined by Microsoft and ruined by the government and their employers. And now we can...
Well, I mean, when you see the history of government, sure, it's like anything else.
I just don't believe anything that has the word G in it, except...
My name's Gina. I'm not G. And God, and I believe it.
No, anything that is government. Anything in government is, I mean, the history shows. How can you trust governments?
But there is some good. You don't feel there's any good in it?
I didn't say that. Yeah. I didn't say that. There is, and that ties into when you say why people have this pain,
why do bad things happen to good people?
Bad things happen to good people. Everything, I believe that everything that happens, whether it appears to be not good, is for the good of our journey. Everything. The choices that we make, the places that we encounter, the people that we encounter, are all part of our journey, right? We meet
free will, right?
Well, I mean, free will can be included in it. Our choice to go here is
free will.
It's free will. But I know, for example, if I have two doors and one door has an abyss and the other door doesn't have, is a regular room.
But how do you know that unless you open it?
Well, I mean, but that's the choice. That's where the free choice comes.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the free will is, right? Mm-hmm. I can open this one or this one.
Correct.
Now, if you go more deep, you can ask, well, if I wouldn't tell you about these two doors, will you open them anyway? Yeah. So what difference, okay,
I get it. I get what you're saying, but I mean...
So anything with government, I'm. That's me.
I respect
9/11 is all. Is government knew about that? Not just this government, Israel warned the U.S. six months before. It's going
to be
an attack.
See, for me, where and I hear 9/11, I feel the pain of the families and the loss and what
happened later.
That's where I go, and this is where I want to take the people and the families. And
I hear you.
And regardless of where it came from me, it's already done. How do we prevent this again? How do we serve the people and the animals and the plants and the seas and the lakes? How do we take that internal? Isn't that what life is about? Like the things that have happened us at the time felt would destroy us or break us or did break us. You know, in 1,000 pieces. How did we pick ourselves up and learn from that lesson to make it a better world within ourselves? Because you said we are the world, right?
We are the world.
We are God, or whatever your language is, God, spirit, universe, right? So the people that choose not to do it, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink it. So that's their choice. That's their free will. In this, like you say, this corona environment, yes, there is segregation and there is separation, but there is also unity. In 9/11, there was still unity in it too. People pulled together. My friend just went to the Washington Monument and there laid 670,000 flags, white flags, for the people, all the Americans. Yeah. It's not dissuading everyone else who have passed from COVID. Now, regardless, the label is COVID, that people... laid the flags, and they were every wave meant something to me. I don't, I don't care that it was COVID or COVID or COVID or whatever it is, 19, 23. It is an issue. How do we make it better for everybody?
Yeah.
For our children, for our children.
The kind of thinking,
they're our future.
And this is the kind of thinking and approach that we need. Because that we need to look through. Those are the lenses that we need to look through. How can we, in what we can, make it better? Make it better for...
That's right. As light workers or healers or life coaches or therapists and counselors and teachers and government, how can we make it better? As our movies, Hollywood gets a bad rap.
That's right. But here's the thing: it's to encourage people to do something, to speak out, even.
Right.
Even speaking out. You
and
know,
not everybody's going to do that.
Not everybody. You know, Julie's saying not to get serious, but a lot of times bad things happen because good people don't act.
That's correct.
And
yeah.
Absolutely. You're absolutely
right. That's actually in part of the book, Julia, is like, because we don't do anything, because we think, well, let the next person do it, or I don't have power to do it. That's what this program's about.
Yeah.
Look, I got chills all over.
It
takes one person.
To
one
jump.
Person
one
to do something.
To jump,
it doesn't
then,
matter how big or how small.
Exactly.
There are people making world global. You're the perfect example of that. You are the speaker of globally. I do it one at a time, and I like to do it through children. And you're absolutely right. That's why I love this book. But we all make a difference. We have to make one little step.
And you know what?
I'm so passionate about it because
it's great.
Sick when everyone always ignores. You know, like in an emergency, when people say help, they run. But you say fire, they help. So it takes one person to help that other person.
That's right.
Everyone's relying on everyone else. That's why we have to be direct. You call 911. You get the water if someone's having a baby. See what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but everyone
sure.
wants to leave it on their own.
For
You're
sure,
absolutely
for sure.
right. Thank you for interacting. This is what I love. This I love the interaction, and because I'm learning and it stimulates. See, I'm getting all riled up, but in a good way. Like I feel it in my belly because it's like. My purpose here is to be, was to be a mother. I knew I was going to be a mommy. But is to help others and do my part. And I do my part in every way. And I feel that is the responsibility as humans to do our part. I don't care what political realm. It doesn't matter to me. For me, it's humanitarianism. I don't care what religion. It's helping someone else. And sometimes I need help and guidance. And I've been where I have had no one. No one. But then that was the best lesson because I had to dig deep and see what do I want? What do I want to make my life?
Yeah.
You know, I used to make bargains with God, like, please, please don't let my family suffer. Let me suffer. Don't let anything happen.
You still do.
I still do.
Yeah.
And it's not a bargain now. It's like opening up the space.
Yeah.
And
this is beautiful.
So, yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
No, and thank you, Julie.
You.
She's the one that stimulated all that.
Thank you for sharing.
You know?
Thank you for
I love when people make, comments and very passionate about this. This is why we do this. Not to like, look at Gina and Alon. Look at that. No, it's not about that. We're irrelevant. We're just conduits to take today.
Channels.
Take this,
this
moment.
Exactly.
You know, and yes, you want the show to be exciting and you want to get ready. You want to do the word. This is why we do it. It's not about.
So take my shirt off?
Take your shirt off. Nice. You can get naked. I don't care. Me, I'm free. I don't. Do whatever you want as long as you're not hurting anybody intentionally.
Yeah.
Right?
So
I got on that.
No, it's all
she
good.
She just stimulated something that I felt very deeply in my voice.
It's all good. Thank you for sharing.
No,
this is
thank
what
you for listening,
about.
Allowing me to come on here and be with you and with all of you and the people who come on and we do want to hear from you. It is important what you say. You think it's not, but it is.
Yeah.
Every little input is important.
Very, very, very. Like, let me turn your mic on.
How you relate to the situation is the situation. Apangu.
Apangu.
Sicilian.
All right, guys.
Okay. Thank you.
But what I wanted to say really to the end is the same amount level of negativity that we see has the same amount level of positivity.
Mm-hmm.
They both rise up in the same quantity. It's the same because there's the same negativity, there's the same amount of positivity. And this is to remember. So let's take that into heart. And if you see something, actually do say something. That, you know that sentence that I see it in the public transportation, and remember in Boston and the subways, if you see something, say something.
Right, but you can say it in a nice way. You don't have to say it in a mean way.
No. I'm saying it in a way of if you see something, actually say something.
Say something.
Be or encouraged to say something. Encouraged to say your voice, to raise your voice, to bring your gifts.
Right.
And many times through the gifts is how we are expressing our opinions about everything else. Through our gifts, through our art, through our writings, through the music, through everything, we express how we feel about something. Because somebody can say, I don't know how to speak to say about something.
That's right. As an experience, say hello to someone today. Just say hello.
There you go.
Even say in hello. The mask, say hello. Whether they have a mask or don't have a mask.
Exactly.
Say hello.
Say hello. And
say hello.
Hello. Shalom, too. Shalom
hello.
In Hebrew. Shalom is peace. Hello.
Aloha, whatever.
Thank you very much.
You.
We are at the end of the run.
Wow.
Oh, we are past the time, actually. But thank you. Thank you, Gina. Thank you, Gina, for coming.
Thank you, Julie, for conversing with us.
And thank you for everybody who has been here on IGTV.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Fun.
This is Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. Thank you, Gina Ann. I'm Ilan Azulay. I'll see you soon, next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.